Now, I'm going to open them up to the 127th Psalm, Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse number 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Our Father, I pray that you would bless us now as we study. Bless us now as we hear from you. And I pray that we would listen to your voice today. Guide and direct us and help us, Lord, to understand the importance of focusing all of our attention on you at all times. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. The year was 1787. The American War for Independence had been won. The fledgling United States was struggling under the Articles of Confederation. That was their first attempt at establishing a federal government that all could live with. A government that was strong enough to keep and maintain and preserve, defend the freedoms that were given to us by our Creator, while at the same time not so strong that it would take those freedoms away. A constitutional convention was convened to draw up a new system of government that would truly recognize that the only kind of government that could survive was one that was of the people, by the people, and for the people. After a time of unprofitable conversation and all kinds of talking about this, Benjamin Franklin rose and said this. In the beginning of the contest with Britain, we were sensible of danger. We had daily prayers in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the thing, on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten this powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived for a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall proceed divided by our little partial local interests. Our prospects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach. And a byword down to future ages, and what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing government by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, or conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers, imploring the insistence of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations, be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of the city be requested to officiate in that service. As I've said many times before, that does not sound like the words of a deist who believes an impersonal God who's walked away from his creation. The founding fathers were not deists. Far from it. So number one, this psalm's purpose. This psalm's purpose. The Word of God is clear. From beginning to end, we need God. We need God for everything. Not a God. The God. Not a God of man's own making, but the one and only God. The God who created the heavens and the earth, who formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The God of Scripture, who is good and gracious, who is kind and loving, who is merciful and mighty, and yet is not to be trifled with. The God who enrobed himself in human flesh to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. We need him now, and we need him for eternity. To build anything in this life, God must be the builder and keeper of that endeavor, or it will fall into ruin. Whether that building is a nation, a city, a business, a church, family, or a life, it is truly vanity to attempt it without God. God is to be the builder. God is to be the keeper. God is to be the sustainer. And without him, it is truly foolish to wake up in the middle of the night worrying. It is truly vanity to stay up anxiety ridden when you eat or sleep or go about your business wondering what is going to happen. You are wasting both time and in doing so wasting your life. The psalmist's purpose here in Psalm 127 is to let us know that God, the God, our God, is the builder and sustainer of anything that is good. Amen. And we've got to look to him. He begins by saying in verse number 1 again, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman stays up, waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. When God is the builder, when God is the sustainer, you can be assured that all will go well. It is not even sufficient to plan and then somehow pray, God bless my plans. We are to seek God's plans for building, understanding that God's plans are what God blesses. We aren't to seek to do it our way and say, oh, God, please bless my way. We're to say, God, what's your way? How should this be done? How should this be accomplished? How should this task be brought to fruition? You've said so in your word. I will follow you. And that is what he will bless. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We understand the truth of that, the truth of this, the truth of the whole of the Word of God, that our God is God. We need him. And if we follow his plans, if we follow his word, all will be well. Amen. Oh, I do not mean you'll never have a problem. I do not mean you will never be poor or sick. I do not mean anything of the sort, for the Bible does not teach that. But the Bible says, in the end, I will see God. In the end, I will stand before God. In the end, I will know that God has worked in me and through me for the betterment of this earth and for the betterment of eternity, because we'll be taking other people with us. Amen. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Number two, the perspective's point. Artists, and I'm not one, I teach, and the kids make fun of my writing all the time. I don't know why. It's beautiful. I can read it sometimes, and that's all that matters. And I'm not an artist, but I know that artists use perspective to make something look farther away, to make something look short. There's usually a line, an invisible, a point, an invisible dot out there that they kind of make everything go to. Okay? Again, I know what they're doing. I know how they're doing it. I just can't do it. Okay? For the life of me. So that's what perspective is. And it's the point that we view, a point that everything else that we view heads toward. To do things this way, to understand what the psalmist has for us, to do things God's way requires a change of perspective. And that is exactly what Benjamin Franklin did at the Constitutional Convention. He changed the whole perspective of what they were doing. Then they wrote the greatest document ever conceived by man, the Constitution of the United States. It would not have, it could not have been written without God's help. Coincidence? I don't think so. I don't think so. And that's why it makes me so angry to see other people talk about the Constitution when their goal is to get rid of it and start over again. We need to realize that with God's help, we have the country that we have, and we don't want to lose it. In order to live our lives, building a church, building a family, building a life, we need to make sure that our perspective is correct, that our perspective is right, that we are moving to a certain point at all times, and that point is God, understanding that He is to be the builder, He is to be the keeper, He is to be sustainer in everything that we do. I'm going to give you three sets of two words, each trying to bring our perspective into focus, that can be summed up in the phrase, my way or God's way. I won't be long. That's the longest introduction and first point you've ever heard from me. It'll be quick. But listen. Hang on. Allow that perspective to be changed as we begin to find out, am I living my way or God's way? Am I doing things the way I want to do them, or the way that God would have me to do them? The one who is to be the builder and keeper and sustainer of my life, my family, my church, my nation. First of all, purpose versus preference. Purpose versus preference. I am, you are, choosing to live your life pointing to one of those things. Am I living life based on God's purpose, or am I living life based on my preference? On what God says is right, on what God says He wants me to do, or simply because I want to do it. Because that's what I want in my life. This change of focus is crucial. Because I have found in 41 years of ministry that people do what they want to do. It doesn't matter what you tell them. It doesn't matter how many logical arguments you can make from the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you might say to them. People do what they want to do. Period. We need to change the focus. We need to understand that what I want to do is what God says to do. And we'll be a whole lot better off, because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We need to get and understand that. Am I going to live by God's ordained purposes as found in His Word? Or am I going to live by what I want at the moment? And our wants change and our desires change, and they are so fleeting. Yet God's Word remains constant. God's Word remains true. And we need to live our lives understanding that my life is to be built on God's purposes. My life is to be built on what He wants, what He says, because He, the Almighty God, is always right. And what I want isn't. Unless I align my preferences to God's purposes. Purpose versus preference. Secondly, responsibility versus rights. Responsibility versus rights. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Amen? Just because something's legal doesn't make it right. Just because something is okay and looked like it's okay by society doesn't make it right. We as Americans are good at pounding our fist and saying, I have my rights. I want my rights. We need to realize that before rights come responsibilities. I had the right to stay home this morning in my nice warm bed and not give up. And as you look around you, some people took their rights. Okay? Happens every week. Happens all the time. But God said, I have a responsibility to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. So there's my quandary. Oh, I had none, and my mind was made up. That's easy for you to Pastor. You get paid to do this. Well, you know, you guys come anyway and get and just be good for nothing. Never mind. we need to say, God said to do this. I don't have to. I'd rather do that. That's my preference. And I've got the right to do that. And yeah, you may. But our responsibility to God comes before all those things. Amen. And that's the change of focus. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And God wants us to understand, I have a responsibility to Him. I've got a responsibility to the body of Christ. I've got a responsibility to my fellow believers in Christ. I've got a responsibility to my family. I've got a responsibility to everyone around me, whatever I'm building, to do it right based on God's Word. And I need to live out my responsibilities. Do we need to define the word responsibility? Sadly, we probably do. Responsibility is knowing the right thing to do and doing it. Amen. Amen. That's what we need to figure out from God's Word. What's right? And then go ahead and do it. Amen. In your leisure, read the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes is, if you will, Solomon's diary. You see, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, and God gave him riches, and God gave him fame, and God gave him glory, messed up. He messed up big time. He did, there's no question about it. There's no discussion about it. He messed up his life. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. In it is his diary. In it, he basically says throughout the book, I had the time and the money to do whatever I wanted to do. I had all of the resources I needed to do what my heart desired, and I did them all. His conclusion? Without God, it's all vain. Without God, it's all vanity. Without God, it is worthless. It is void of anything valuable. It is nothing. And that's what we need to realize. That's what this psalm is pointing out to us. How we need that perspective change to understand, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. We need to keep our eyes on God, on His purposes, on our responsibilities at all times. And then we're allowing the Lord to build the house. Third set of words. Edification versus enjoyment. Edification versus enjoyment. Am I here? Are my kids here simply to have fun? Or are we supposed to grow? Are we here in this life simply to enjoy ourselves and make sure they have a good time and all that kind of stuff? Or am I supposed to help grow them up? Edify them at all times. This choice I make, what effect is this going to have on my family? What effect is this going to have on my church? What effect is it going to have on me? What effect is it going to have on eternity? Or is it, you know, fun, so I'm going to do it? Wow. Who are we to be edifying? And that word edification, that word edifying means to be building up. Who are we to be building up at all times according to Scripture? Well, we're supposed to be building up ourselves. Amen? That's one of my jobs, is to give you the Word of God so that you will be built up in Christ. You know, and I work hard at it, and I struggle at it, and I stand up here and I sweat at it, but you got to participate in that. Amen? You got to take what's being said from the Word of God, determine whether it's the Word of God, and if it is, you're responsible for it. And incorporate it into your life. Incorporate that into your life at all times. You're to build yourself up. That means on Monday morning when I'm not there, you got to read the Word of God all by yourself. Amen. And Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. You're responsible to study the Word of God and build yourself up in the Word of God. But you're responsible also to build other people up. Amen. Not just yourself. If you've got a family, you need to be building up your family in the Word of God. Amen. Mom, Dad, it's your responsibility to bring those kids up, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To make sure they are understanding the Word of God and what God wants from them and out of their lives. It's your responsibility. But there are others outside of our family that we need to help building up as well. We need to be involved in other people's lives that we're helping them be built up, to grow in Christ, be fortified in the things of God so they can stand right and stand for what is right, that we all might do right together. Amen. Or is it game time? Because games of whatever sort have more immediate calling than the things of God. No. No. No, I'm not saying, and you know me, that, you know, fun is always wrong. No. It's not. And there's a place for fun. And there's a place for laughter. And there's a place for other things. But they have their place. And when they begin to take the place of God, then what are we teaching? How are we building them up? When we get to the point in our lives where we tell the kids and other people that there are at times things that are more important than God. There aren't, by the way. But every now and then, there's something more important than God. They'll find more things that are more important than God. That's just the way it goes. And we've got to understand that. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. And we need to make sure that our perspective gets changed and we realize that God's purposes are more important than my preferences. My responsibilities come before my rights. That the edification of my life, my family, other people, the church of God, come before enjoyments that are out there. Amen. The New Testament says the same thing in a little bit different way. We teach it to our kids in a song. And I'm tempted now to sing it. But I should do that at the back of the auditorium to drive everybody to the altar. Not in the front of the auditorium, because that's the only way out. I personally think that singing during preaching is hokey. Probably because I can't do it. That's just me. I want to sing this song, but I won't. I'll hold you to that. The wise man built his house upon the rock. You know the song? Sing it with me in your head. And the rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house on the sand. When the rains came down, the floods came up, the house on the sand fell flat or went splat, depending on how you learn to sing the song. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. It goes back to my way or God's way. So let me ask you this morning, what's your choice? What's your decision? But God has said eternity hangs on your choice. Oh, not getting saved or not, that's based on whether we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Amen. I'm talking about our testimony toward other people who are not saved. We're making decisions based on decisions we have made. Wouldn't understand, except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your word. I pray that each one of us would see the words that were mentioned here, the way of life that were mentioned here, the building, the keeping, the sustaining of anything that we might build in this life. It all has to be done by you. And the only way to do that is to make sure we have the right perspective. So, Lord, I pray that you would put that right perspective into us. Keep it in the forefront of our minds, and I pray that we would refer to it at all times. Guide, direct, bless, and the decisions we make right now. Lord, help us to make sure our perspective is right. That we're doing things your way. That we're allowing you to be the builder, the keeper, the sustainer of it. For in you we can trust. In you we can rest when we do things rightly. Guide and direct us now as we make these decisions. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, what does God want you to do today? Let me first of all ask you, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know you're going to heaven? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know Christ? You say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand up as testimony of that fact. You're saved, you know it? No, put your hands up. Amen. God bless you. Amen. That's great. Amen. 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 Christian? How's your perspective? How's your perspective? We're going to heaven. That's been settled because we trusted Christ as Savior. But how we live has an effect on other people, our family, our friends, our co-workers, our church. And if we want the Lord to build our lives, we've got to build it on the rock of Jesus Christ, on the rock of His Word, His will. You say, Pastor, God's spoken to me. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Put your hand up. Put it back down. God has spoken to me. Pastor, pray for me. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here. You've never trusted Christ as Savior. You need to do that. That is far and above the most important decision you will ever make. The Bible makes it clear we're all sinners heading toward hell. That's how we're all born. But Jesus Christ came to intervene. He came, He died on the cross as your substitute. He died in your place for your sin to pay your sin penalty in full and says, come to me in repentance of faith and be saved. And if you do that, He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You trust Christ today. You say, Pastor, I don't know I've ever done that. I'm not sure I've ever done that. I'm not certain about going to heaven. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. I don't know that I know Christ. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. Just slip your hand up, put it back down. We love you here. Christ loves you. Right now, are you saved? Do you know it? Pastor, I don't. Pray for me. Just slip your hand up right now. Our Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you for salvation that you bought and paid for with your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to live for you. But Lord, not only do we get that opportunity, it's our responsibility. But Lord, you've laid it all out for us in Scripture. We can't do it. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the church. Lord, I pray that we would determine we're going to live your way. Guide and direct in the decisions we make. I pray that we would leave here changed. Not for a day, not for a few moments, but for eternity. Because we've heard from you today. Guide, direct, bless right now in these decisions. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 328. 328, as we sing this first verse of the invitation, we invite you to respond to God working in your heart. What does He want you to do? Pray as we sing. Talk to God as we sing. Make those decisions as we sing. If you need to speak to me about salvation, I'll be waiting for you right down front. About baptism, I'll be waiting for you right down front. About joining our church, I'll be waiting for you right down front. Right now, verse number one, what does God want you to do? Talk to Him as we sing.